CNN Radio, I'm Paul Chambers. Talks have broken down between Verizon and its union. CNN Cheryl Castro reports tens of thousands of workers went on strike today.
More than 45,000 union workers have walked off the job at Verizon. Bob Master with the Communications Workers of America says Verizon is demanding unreasonable concessions from its workers, including cuts to pensions and health care.
In this day and age, when the economy is really in bad shape, you have a company that's this profitable. They should be investing in America.
Verizon spokesman Peter Thonis says the landline business, which the workers are in, is actually not profitable.
We're going to continue to do our part to reach a new contract, but it needs to reflect today's economic realities.
Both sides dispute the impact to customers. Cheryl Castro, CNN.
NATO recovery teams combed through the wreckage of a downed CH-47 Chinook helicopter in eastern Afghanistan today, the site of the worst single-day loss of American lives since the start of the Afghan war. Retired Army Colonel Robert McGinnis says losing 22 Navy SEALs in the crash was devastating.
The president's changed our strategy over the next year, and we're going to a counterterrorism strategy, which means we have to depend upon these special forces, these excellently trained, very highly skilled people.
The bad news continues. Four NATO service members were killed today in Afghanistan in two separate insurgent attacks. A mass of humanity gathers in Israel to protest the cost of living. An estimated 250,000 demonstrators took to the streets as the Israeli prime minister announced details about a new financial team. Dozens of arrests and more than two dozen police officers were injured in London last night during a riot in support of a man killed by police. Investigators say petrol bombs and missiles were thrown at officers trying to keep the peace. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
At Walgreens, I'm not just a prescription. I'm Claire, and my doctor told me I have high cholesterol. Suddenly, I have to think about what I can eat, how much I should exercise, how often I'll take my new medication.
Every prescription filled at Walgreens goes through a 10-point safeguard check that reviews your current Walgreens health record for allergies and potentially harmful drug interactions, because we know you have a lot on your mind. To learn more about our 10-point safeguard check, talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, there's a way to stay well.
I'm in the, we use 50 kinds of fasteners, and if we run low, we need more of them. Fast business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
The more our customers grow, the more we grow business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki. Oh, that's you. Hi, baby.
Hi.
We have a show that is so full. It's more full than we were. We were in Atlantic City the last 2 days, and we ate at Chef Vola last night, and they were really, it was like stepping my foot and my mouth open. So, but this show has more
Manish,
in it than that.
Manish, Chana, Halila, Hazah. Why is this night different from any other night?
Was that Chinese? So we've got a big show. On today's show, we've got Teddy Folkman, who's been on here so many times, he probably wants a paycheck. That's funny.
You're going to have to get in line.
You get paid when I get paid. He's got Dave Coleman with him of Three Stars Brewery and Martin Doskat of the, he's president of the D.C. Home Brewers Club, and we're going to talk about the upcoming third annual DC Beer Week.
Yummy.
And Eddie Ishak is a new executive chef at Wildfire, and we're going to talk grilling. Summer's not over. We're going to be grilling, and he is a grill meister from Chicago,
okay.
I should say. And I love this one. Carmine's, today is the 1 year anniversary of Carmine's opening in DC. And
I think
June,
it's today.
It is today.
Second.
No, it's August 7th, isn't it?
The second.
It is August 3rd.
Yeah,
August 3rd.
I knew that.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew that.
August 3rd.
Forget what I just said. but in 1 year, Carmine's grabbed the Rammy Power Dining Power Spot Dining Award, mm-hmm. and actually another Rammy too. And we've got Executive Chef Terry Natus in with us, and CEO Jeff Bank on the phone. We got a CEO on
and
the phone.
And tons and tons and tons of delicious food.
I'm
going to
break
as well.
Into if you knew sushi like I know. Okay. But. Kazukochi.
This is supposed to go
sushi.
Fast, and you're taking a
and
very
he,
long
and
time.
He is in. He's talking about his new restaurant, O Fish, and he's going to be in rolling sushi to our specifications.
Yes, and first, Mitch Berliner is on the phone with us. He's fresh from Bethesda Central Farm
is he
Market.
Is actually on the phone?
Mitch. Yes, here I am. Hi, kids. How are you?
Hey Mitch. How are you?
We only got a couple of minutes, Mitch. We want you to tell us about Bake Bethesda Pie. Why would anybody bake a pie for Bethesda?
Because we're raising money, as we often do, with our partner, Mana Food Bank, mm-hmm. here, and we like to have fun.
Well, so tell us a little bit about the contest, Mitch. How can people
sure.
get involved?
Very simply, it's Labor Day Sunday, mm-hmm. and we have a new category for kids, 18 and under, for under 18, and we have a category in savory and sweet pies, and all you have to do is go to the website, which is Bethesda Central FarmMarket.com, or you can just Google Bethesda Central Farm Market, mm-hmm. and you'll see the form to enter. It's just $5, and all the money goes to the Mana Food Bank. Last year, we raised $1,000 for the Mana Food Bank.
Fantastic.
And we had a lot of fun, and we had people from all, we were absolutely shocked. We had people from all over the metropolitan Washington area, mm-hmm. and there was even some trash talk going on about, hey, my pie is better than yours. I thought a fight would break out or something.
No, I thought you meant like when Nikki says, take out the trash.
yeah.
All right, so we drove by the market on the way down to the show today, and it was jammed. What are the big sellers this at this point in the summer? Because you've got like 40 vendors. What's going fast?
Well, I got to tell you, this is just like you say, this is the peak season now through, say, maybe early October. Mm-hmm. We've got so many varieties of peaches, nectarines, all kinds of varieties of melons, greens, lettuces, and of course, we have our meats, cheeses, poultry, all the specialty people, food you can eat here on the spot, barbecue made from locally sourced meats, you name it, we're doing all kinds of things ourselves.
What do you think the top, what would you say right now are the top three buys that people want to get at the market?
I would say peaches for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say, we got beautiful greens.
Okay.
Beautiful, beautiful greens. There's baby string beans that stand 2 down for me. Haricot vert, wax beans that really are fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
The peppers are coming in too. And I have to say the melons. There's all varieties of melons. My personal favorite is the canary melon.
You know what, Mitch?
It is unbelievable.
I want to tell you something. I just said to Nikki this morning that Mitch Berliner has nice melons, and I'm glad to hear that you do. We're going to have to go. That's Bethesda Central Farm Market down on Elm Street in Bethesda. You open till 1 today, right?
Yes, sir.
And
right.
The parking is free.
Free. I know that you like that, David.
I like that. I'm cheap.
See, everybody
I'm
knows
happy
how cheap
to
he
admit
is.
It. Thanks, Mitch.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right,
okay,
you
bye.
Too. All right, let's
bye,
turn...
Bye.
Let's turn to Teddy Folkman. Teddy, as I said, you've been on here, what, 4, 5, 12, 48 times?
You've been
something
on a
like
lot.
That.
Jeez Louise. And we know your beer, so let's get into it. Tell us about D.C. Beer Week.
Well, tell us about D.C. Beer Week, but first tell us who you brought in with you today.
I brought in with me Dave Coleman from Three Stars Brewing Company.
Mm-hmm.
And I also brought in Martin, who's the president of the D.C. Home Brewers Association.
Excellent. And,
so,
and what
Martin
are you all doing? As far as D.C. Beer Week this year? It's the third year, yeah?
It's the third year. Mm-hmm. We have over 110 events now. I think it's going to go up to 150 by the time it opens.
In 1 week?
Over. In 1 week. Kicks off with a beer.
I don't understand that. How does that work?
Will you be walking everywhere?
Okay.
I wouldn't get in the car if I were you, man.
Oh, I only have a bike, so it's okay.
Well, that's right.
No, but it's going to be doing... I mean, everybody has so many different... There's so many different things that you can do with beer. Beer dinners, beer tastings, meeting brewers... releases of beer in the city that haven't been released yet.
Mm-hmm.
One-off brews that breweries are doing, collaboration
Excuse
brews.
Excuse me. That's mine.
I don't have one.
Yes, you do. You have one right there.
No.
Okay, sorry. Priorities.
Is anybody else here married?
Yeah,
no.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you. I'm glad no one else is listening. It's hell. All right.
So, I'm sorry. Back to what you were saying.
It's a wide variety of events. I mean, it just runs the gamut. Anything that involves craft beer, as defined by the Brewers Association, what a craft beer is.
Right.
We can have an event. I mean, we're also even doing an event to celebrate the other craft beer weeks, Philly, New York, and Baltimore. So it's
craft beer week. Mm-hmm. Is this something that you came up with, or is this a... How did it come together?
It came together. My buddy Jeff Wells and I were sitting around saying, you know, hey, let's
Happy
go to
Jeff.
Yep.
We know Jeff.
We're sitting around going, you know what? You know, let's go to New York Beer Week this year. Oh, let's go to Philly Beer Week. Mm-hmm. Why don't we put on a beer week? You know, DC, as over the past,
Did you have that same look on your face when you just said it like that?
Probably.
Okay.
A little bit of concern, yet ambition.
Chagrin.
Yeah, chagrin's a great word to describe it. But no, it was just one of those things. DC is definitely becoming a beer town.
Mm-hmm.
8 years ago, it wouldn't be the same way. And I think beer is surpassing wine now on menus of all different restaurants. If you have a great wine list, it's almost imperative that you have a great beer list as well. And
actually, some places have great beer lists. And really not good wine list.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Oh, wait, I wasn't talking about you.
Yeah, how many times have I been to this show now?
Don't worry, this is your last.
But no, you see a lot more beer places opening up, whereas wine bars have taken over. Mm-hmm. Now there's a lot more of the beer scene, and a lot of the small little dive bars are replacing their Budweiser and Bud Light, their macro brews, with a lot of micro brews and local breweries. So it's really becoming a great scene, and I'm just happy to be part of it and happy to promote it.
So let's just, tell us what you're pouring first.
This is the Omegang Aphrodite. It just got released in late July. It's got a champagne type.
Am I going to say it right?
Frambois. Similar. It's almost a sour beer.
Okay.
It's brewed with grains of paradise, pear, raspberry, but it has a champagne-like quality as far as the carbonation. Tiny bubbles. Really nice. Actually, a brunch beer is what I consider it. Mm-hmm. I'd like, you know, instead of having champagne or mimosa or anything like that in the morning, I kind of prefer the Aphrodite.
It's very light. It is. It's really nice.
Easy drinking and, you know, just fun.
All right. We're going to sip it and we're going to segue.
Yes.
Ready?
Go ahead. Yes,
all
I'm
right.
ready.
Because now we're talking Carmines. We've got Jeff Bank on the phone. Jeff, are you there?
I sure am.
The legendary CEO of Carmines, and Terry Natus, who's the executive chef of Carmines down here.
Who did not come in empty-handed,
no,
I must
say.
No,
my God, he loaded it down. But Jeff, I want you to know, we were up at in Atlantic City this weekend, staying right next door to the Tropicana. We were within loving distance, sniffing distance of Carmines, and the place looked jammed. So
yes.
That's a good thing.
Oh, Carmines was packed this weekend. We did over 1,700 covers the other night.
Yeah, my God. I'm not surprised.
Covers? What about meals?
Right.
Just kidding. All right, so last year on August 2nd, you guys opened here in D.C. in Penn Quarter.
August 3rd.
Yeah, this is August 2nd.
Okay, well, now it's August
3rd. All right,
3rd.
And in June, I mean, not even a year later, you guys took away two Rammies from the Restaurant Association of Metropolitan Washington for Power Spot and Most Favorite Restaurant, both in the public vote categories. And I guess, listen, that's a lot of award winning in a short period of time. You guys, you must have a hit on your hands. Terry's nodding, Jeff, if you can't see him. So what do you attribute that to?
I think it's very simple. Carmine's is all about a wow factor. You have the portions in front of you. You see the size that we give. We respectfully did not treat you like a VIP. We sent you the same portions we send everybody else.
What?
And you're seeing these large portions at a great value. People have to eat. We're in the middle of a recession, and people still want to go out. So you're getting incredible value. There's really no other place than Carmine's that you could eat with 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 people happily have a restaurant of 700 seats, 13 private dining rooms, and get quality that's staring in front of you. There's a 48-ounce porterhouse that little girl Nikki in the white shorts meant to dive into.
Wait a minute. How do you know that?
I know everything.
He knows that. He is all-knowing.
All right, wait. Am I wearing boxers or briefs?
You're wearing a black shirt that you wore yesterday still.
How do you know that, too?
Smelly black shirt from yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, so...
Jeff, let me ask you, you know, when you first came to the D.C. area, you took an enormous space that was originally supposed to be a Balducci's, and you have, I think, the largest, maybe one of the largest restaurants in D.C.?
Yeah, over 700 seats.
Over 700 seats. So over the year, how has your perception changed of D.C.? I mean, did you sort of think it was going to go one way and then it wound up going another?
No, I mean, we're a good company. We've been around 22 years. We did our homework. I moved to D.C. for about 4 months, so we were down there all during construction, getting the lay of the land, learning the town, and we realized that there's a void in that a reasonably priced Italian restaurant, high quality, and private dining rooms. People want to go out, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 people, and the average restaurant says, oh, 12 people, will you sit at two separate tables?
Right.
By us, we consider a 12 a deuce top. You know, it's two. It's nothing.
And, well, let me ask you another question. So
do you say, I got you 12 right here?
Exactly.
That was not the question I was going for. What I want to know is, so many New York restaurants are coming to D.C. Why did you guys look here?
We came there. We opened about a restaurant a year. Mm-hmm. And when the world had fallen apart, we had decided back in...
Jeff, you keep talking in dire straits. You're making me upset.
Sorry.
That's all right.
But you know what? Recession, dire straits is perfect for Carmine's. We're tailor-made for that because mm-hmm. there's no other place that has the value that we have with quality.
Are you saying you like recessions?
Yeah, when the stock market dipped, our sales went up.
But
so, not my IRA, but the
industry to get into.
I can hear Marie Antoinette saying, let them eat Carmine's.
Right. Yes, but it's a unique concept. So, you know, you come down there, and we felt very comfortable that where else are you going to go and get that many seats, still have your private dining rooms, you still want to go out. People don't want to sit up at home and stare at their IRAs getting cut in half. They still have to go out, celebrate a birthday, celebrate an anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
You're like Dr. Doom.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we're going to have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we really want to know, Carmine's isn't all that you do. Are you looking to bring other projects to market, perhaps?
Virgil's Barbecue. Mm-hmm. That's our next one.
Soon?
Yeah, soon is a really good question. Soon will be November 1st in the Atlantis. 650 seats of Virgil's Barbecue is opening there next.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we want to be in D.C. We had to give up the original location we had because Carmine's was such a success with the 700 seats. We realized the location we had for Virgil's was too small.
Oh.
So now we're back looking for a large location again.
Excellent. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be digging into more Carmine's and sipping on some beer. And there is going to be some sushi being rolled in studio. This is David and Nikki Nels with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson. And you notice not just the differences, but the similarities, like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common. The same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit matrixdirect.com.
Sometimes I worry about what would happen to my family if I lost my job. But I never really thought about what would happen to them if they lost me. And I didn't have life insurance. My cousin's husband died, and now she might have to sell her house just to make ends meet. I don't ever want to put my wife through that. So I called Matrix Direct.
Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. If you're 40 years old and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $16 a month. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-588-5514.
I feel so much better now that I called.
It only takes 5 minutes to see how you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-588-5514. 1-800-588-5514.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nels. We've got Carmine CEO Jeff Bank on the phone and Executive Chef Terry Natta sitting next to me. I've been shoving pasta and meatballs and salsicha in my face. Your place opened only a year ago, and it's already become a hangout for Capitol Hill. The joke is that there are often enough people there, members of Congress there, to actually call a quorum. What do the bigwigs eat? Do they eat something different than you know?
They eat what you eat. You're eating meatballs. 3 weeks ago, the Obama children ate the same meatballs. I mean, not exactly the same.
That would be disgusting.
Yeah, that would be gross.
Yeah, we saved them for you.
All right, so Terry, do you get crazy requests?
Not so much. I think people come in and you know, this is what they want. This is what we're looking for. You know, the huge, the meatball, the baseball sized meatballs, and the big porterhouse steak, and the, you know, penne alla vodka. This is exactly what they come to Carmine's for.
Are people in D.C.? I mean, is there a different palate here than what you found at the Tropicana or in New York or
anywhere? They're coming in for Italian. Right.
No, I think, you know, people come. I think these people from D.C. have definitely taken to Carmine's, and they come in and, you know, they know how to order, what to order. It's definitely a equation to how to order at Carmine's.
Well, I'll tell you something. You know, we ate at Chef Fola. I told you, in Atlantic City, which is a legendary restaurant that Nikki's father made me
go to.
Don't
start talking trash.
Well, that's Italian food the way people in New Jersey interpret Italian food. Right. And I know real Italian food, having lived there. This is right on the button.
You lived in Italy? You're kidding.
Does anyone not know that yet?
Did we not say that on every show?
Were you by the D'Abruzzi region?
No, I was in Toscana. Because there's nothing better than Firenze.
D'Abruzzi region is where we get our Carmine's wine. We have a vineyard there.
You have
a vineyard? I saw the bottles, but I thought...
That's not private label with a label just slapped on a bottle.
That's what I thought it was. I'm sorry.
It's not that early. It's over. It's 12 o'clock somewhere. Have Terry Kraft open the a bottle of red. That comes from our vineyard in Italy.
Really?
Of red,
so are you just doing Chianti, or are you doing other wines?
No, we do a house red, we do a house white, we do a Chianti, we do a Prosecco, we do the whole nine yards.
That's amazing. Well, when did you start doing that?
Oh, about 15 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And now my guys are under the delusion that they need an annual trip to Italy to check on the grapes.
Well, I was just about to say that...
I think you should bring press.
You know, since the first time we met, Jeff, I've admired you as a gentleman and a... scholar and a.
And I'm going to say it again. I think you should bring press.
Yeah, definitely a press.
We need a junket to the Carmine.
We're all about junkets.
Right, exactly.
We love it. All right, Jeff, we are going to wrap up with you so we could talk to Chef Terry a little bit. We really appreciate you calling in this morning, and congratulations on your 1 year in Washington, D.C.
Thanks. If I could just tell you one thing, that on October 4th, we're celebrating our anniversary with a big, huge fundraiser we're doing for the Trust for the National Mall.
Oh.
We think it's a great organization, and that's how we want to celebrate our first year and thank the D.C. and Maryland, Virginia area for supporting us and making us their favorite restaurant.
Fantastic.
So we're doing this event for the Trust for National Mall.
Well, on behalf of the entire D.C. region, I want you to know you're welcome.
Thank you,
Senator. All right, man. So keep listening. You can listen to us online at federalnewsradio.com.
Great.
So tune us in. All right, so Terry... Is the kitchen a madhouse? I mean, when you have 700 seats, how many people work in the kitchen?
On busy nights, like Saturday night, like last night, and I'll have 15 cooks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Any suicides? I mean,
no,
you know.
No,
15 cooks just doesn't sound like that much to make food.
It's organized.
For, you know, 700 seats. What's the turnover, would you say? If you start service at what time, 5?
Well, no, we open for lunch and dinner.
It goes right through?
11:30. Oh, yeah.
That's insane.
So you start at 11:30.
Yes, yes. We close at midnight.
Okay.
Yes.
And then you only have 15 chefs back there?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
You know, when we first opened the restaurant, the whole design was to make it all ergonomic and be able to flow. And, you know, we knew exactly what we were getting into with, you know, 700 seats and all the, you know, 13 private dining rooms.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, we're close to having
to
wrap
gonna,
up.
Are you going to, take that spoon?
No. I want to show. No. No.
No, you're going to do that.
I want everybody, tell everybody what, by the way, you can see this show Friday nights at 8:30 and Saturdays at noon on NBC4's Washington Nonstop. So.
Plug.
I'm just saying, if you want to see what we're eating, what I'm going to eat and you won't get. All right. So what is this?
In your hands there is a tiramisu. What it is, it's coffee-soaked ladyfingers, a little mascarpone cream with zabayon, and just shaved bittersweet chocolate.
Beautiful. Delicious. Gorgeous. And can we just talk about the Porterhouse for a second?
Yes.
Because I think you guys are really known for these, like, mammoth plates of pasta and, you know, the tremendous meatballs. But this steak is incredible.
Right. So, very underrated. 30-day age, 48-ounce Porterhouse.
Not underrated by me.
No.
Right. Like again, 30-day age and seared.
Mm-hmm.
Serve a little garlic oil, and we serve it a few different ways.
Are you searing? Like you sear it and then roast it
in a broiler? Okay. No, cook the whole way in the broiler.
Really?
Yes. Get a nice char on the outside. And cook the temperature.
You said you have to cook it for a half hour.
At least half hour for medium rare.
Okay, that's amazing.
Yes, because we won't cut it before it's done cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want any blood to.
Well, we're gonna find out why you shouldn't do that when we talk to our grill guy later on in the show. Thanks. We're talking grilling.
Terry's in here. And he's getting, Chris is the general manager at Carmine's, and he's in there. They're doing hand signals. They got all the answers for this.
Right.
This is a lot of food. It's great food, man. Thank
great.
You.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Let's get back to the beer boys.
Dave, take over the mic. Dave Coleman. Okay. So we have all these events planned, over 100 for DC Beer Week in 1 week. But I was talking to Mel Gold, who brought you guys in today, and she said that you guys do this thing called one-offs, or I don't even know what it is. Can you
explain that to me? Illuminate that a little bit. One-offs are basically when breweries do something experimental that they're only going to do once. And so oftentimes you'll have things like collaborations between two breweries where two sides come together, work to design a beer together, and usually those collaborations are only going to be done once.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, back for Savor Beer Week, Three Stars teamed up with Evolution Brewing Company out of Del Mar, and we did a collaboration beer with them called the Syndicate Saison. So that's a one-time deal. One-offs come to market. The people in the beer community get very excited about it because it's a limited run. There's a small select number of places that are going to get them. And they're often very experimental and kind of cutting-edge beers.
Well, and so, but they're short and sweet, right? Like, that's it. Like, once you have them, that's it?
Yeah. For instance, we just did another collaboration that we'll be launching during Beer Week with Oliver Ales out of Baltimore.
Okay.
And it's a limited run. You get 7 barrels, which is about 14 kegs.
Mm-hmm.
And once those 14 kegs are gone, they're gone. So, yeah. So it really drums up like a frenzy for people to get their hands on it when it comes to market.
But so do they get, are you bottling them too, or is it just kegs?
Just draft.
Just draft. That's it.
Just draft.
So they get tapped, they get poured, that's it.
Yep.
Wow, that's very cool.
Yeah,
and is this sort of a new thing? I don't know that much about beer history. So is that something that people do normally?
Collaborations have been going on for a little while, but myself and some of my beer blogging friends have kind of joked that 2011 is the year of the collaboration.
Okay. Because
It's kind of like two chefs working together. You have two different breweries with two different personalities that are working together.
Uh-huh.
And so there's two different sides that get to shine. So you really see like the characteristic of the brewery, the personality, and it's recipe collaboration. So it's like, hey, I want to make a rye. Okay, well, let's do a rye. Well, you're from England and I'm from America. Well, let's use English malts and American hops. And so that's what we did when we worked with Stephen Jones out of Baltimore.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so now tell us what we've got here.
What do you have here in front
of
you?
These are not one-offs.
These are not one-offs. These are going to be...
I feel gypped. Seriously? Yeah. No.
Actually, after you have
you
a taste,
you'll
be glad...
You come to this show and you don't bring one-offs?
You'll be glad that you'll be able to get this again.
Okay.
The black gold...
Good sell. I like that.
The black gold that's in your right is our pandemic porter. It is about 10.2%.
Okay, it smells like a steak.
It's kind of delicious like that.
Is it?
Yeah,
okay.
It's a lot of...
But it's got a coffee sort of
aftertaste. It does. We actually added a cold steeped espresso in the secondary fermentation, which, nice pickup.
Pat him on the back.
Yeah, patting him on the back. But we use a lot of roasted malts, a lot of chocolate malts in there. Mm-hmm. So you'll see that it's got a really robust flavor, a real full body to it. And then on your left is our Belgian IPA, which we call the Brigade. These are both going to be representatives of our kind of higher-end beers that we'll be producing at Three Stars.
Okay.
So
this smells, it's really pineapple-y?
There's some citrus notes to it. You're also going to be getting some esters from the Belgian yeast that we use
in
there.
Some what?
Some esters.
That's
it's basically. It's,
I had an aunt Esther. Is that what we're talking about?
Similar. Uh-huh. I mean, kind of funky, you know.
Yeah, she was funky.
Yeah. Funky.
Really individualistic.
Funky.
Yeah.
Aunt Esther only bathed about every four days.
So kind of funky. All right. Yeah.
Way funky.
They're very similar in that case then.
Mom, why does Aunt Esther smell like that? All right.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
So that's a lot of what you're picking up in the nose is the yeast. But mm-hmm. then if you, on the back end, you'll get a lot of the hop character and the bitterness. But it's also the yeast kind of counteracts the acids and makes it a little bit smoother and less overpowering, more just drawn out and mellow on the back end.
Okay, is Three Stars beers available now in D.C.?
Not right now. We just got our fermenters delivered yesterday and our brew house delivered 2 weeks ago. So we're in the licensing process now, and we hope to grace your palates this fall.
Excellent. So in the process of doing that, do you... Like, sell your stuff? Like, are you selling futures, so to speak?
No, not really. What we're doing is we're doing our build-out.
Are we investing?
But I'm just curious. I'm curious how it works.
We are still doing fundraising, so that is still an opportunity. But what we're doing in order to kind of
playing the game while we're not in market yet is these collaborations. Mm-hmm. It gives us an opportunity to show people what we're going to be doing when we hit market, and it kind of keeps us part of the current conversation.
Excellent. All right. Well, gets we're going to switch lots of beer.
Exactly. We're going to switch from beer to sushi now.
Sushi.
Everybody in town knows Kaz Sushi, and we have Chef Kaz Okochi in with us, chef owner of Kaz Sushi, and he's brought gorgeous stuff, which I'm now in the process of holding up for the TV guys. Chef, let's start with you. What's your background? How did you get started in sushi?
Oh, going back that far.
Yeah, let's go back to the ancient times. No, I mean, really.
I almost forgot about it. But, well, I was in culinary school in Japan, and actually I was studying mainly French cuisine. That was my first interest for the cuisine. But then I spent some time here in the States. Actually, it was in Oklahoma, so I just wanted to come back to the States. And by the time I graduated from culinary school, I said,
That's okay.
Closer to the microphone.
Okay. All right.
They said, okay, the being a sushi chef, the easiest way to go to U.S. and get a job and everything. So I kind of switched my career that way. So I always kept my interest in Western type of the cuisine. Mm-hmm. So then when I came 1988 and I was working at a sushi co on Wisconsin Avenue, I just started to develop my own style, which is kind of, blending traditional. Because I had 5 years of a traditional sushi training in Japan after, culinary school. I kind of mixing all those two ideas, a presentation, using different ingredients and techniques and everything. So that's kind of started my...
And now you become the supreme being of sushi in Washington.
Well, we have to take a quick break. Sure. So when we come back, sure, we're going to get into O-Fish,
sure,
your newest,
yep, that's the newest
sushi establishment, and find out all about the maki that you brought in. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are eating sushi, drinking beer, and in a little bit, we're going to get to grilling. We'll be right back.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
The Bethesda Central Farm Market, you guys, is awesome. They close off Elm Street in Bethesda every Sunday from 9 to 1. They've got 40-plus vendors with everything from local organic produce and meats and poultry and breads and coffee and chocolate and olive oils and cheeses and more. It's really unbelievable, and it's free parking, which I really love because I'm cheap. So go and check it out because we go there every week. We get fresh fruit and veggies and berries from Twin Springs Farms, a lot of great organic produce from Bending Bridge Farm. The guys at Walnut Hill have free-range eggs. There's cheese from Cowgirl Creamery. We always stop into Poupon Authentic French Bakery and also Upper Crust Real Hearth-Baked European Breads. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's an amazing assortment of vendors. So go to Bethesda Central Farm Market every Sunday from 9 to 1 in Bethesda on Elm Street. They close the street off so it's easy walking around. And if you want to know more, go to BethesdaCentralFarmMarket.com. If Foodie and the Beast tell you to go, it's good.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? If a tree falls in the forest and no one is around, does it make a noise? Yep.
Be like the 4 million who switched to Geico last year, and you too could start saving money. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis and Chef Kaz, who has brought in all kinds of great sushi. You've got a new operation going called O-Fish. I don't know a darn thing about it.
I
guess Nikki does.
What's I know about it. Tell us about it.
Tell us what the deal is, and I'm going to eat sushi.
Well, this is the totally new concept, and I've been thinking for years, but finally it happened just a couple weeks ago in downtown, actually just a couple blocks away from my own first restaurant, mm-hmm. and this is 19th and L. So it's a business, big lunch area. And the whole idea is I just wanted to give the diners or people what they want. Mm-hmm. So it just let them choose the ingredients, and we can just make how they like it. So I have a list of the ingredients. When you come in, you get the sheet, and you pick first either regular size, which is pretty big size.
Are these regular?
Right, these are regular size.
They're very big.
Right, so you know it's just like a volume is eating big sub.
I want to say they're big, but they're not so big they won't fit in my mouth.
All right, so but for the ladies especially, and like Nikki, maybe you want to have a little smaller portion.
No, she's got a big mouth.
I do have a big mouth.
All right.
That's true.
So you can pick, and we can add less rice, so we can make a smaller roll. So that's the first thing you need to pick.
Do you do no rice rolls? Do you do that?
No, because it's not sushi.
Okay, I know. Well, I mean, there are places that don't do. You could order a roll without rice, and I was curious if you did that.
Well, at this point, it's not on the menu yet.
The man said no. Nathan.
I know. I was just curious. Just asking.
All right. So then, the second things you need to do is you pick the main ingredients: either tuna, salmon, spicy tuna, smoked salmon, shrimp, crab stick, eel, or you can be totally vegetarian. So you can pick five vegetables. Then. After that, you can pick up to three vegetable ingredients like cucumber, lettuce, carrots, red peppers, sun-dried tomatoes, and we got about 20, you know, mint, basils, and cilantro, also about 20 the vegetables or produce you can pick from. Then, if you like, we can add either cream cheese or masago, which is a smelt roll. Then we roll. Then after that, we give you the choice of sauce. Like wasabi soy sauce, the citrus soy sauce, and jalapeno soy sauce.
Now, are those? Did you come up with the recipes for those different sauces?
Yeah,
because you don't really see them. Right. Usually, when you have sushi, you have soy sauce. That's it.
Right. And another thing is, I thought maybe easier to make it a little more thicker rather than like liquid, like a soy sauce. So everything is either made with tofu puree, so put in a sauce and put a tofu in there and make it thicker. I mean, as you know, the tofu is made of soybean, which is the same as soy sauce. Sure. So it just works perfectly.
Edamame.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Right. So either mixing with tofu to make it thicker, or some of the sauce is mayonnaise-based.
Okay. Right.
Well, I have a question.
Yes.
Because it's Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I just ate two different, you know, bites of sushi. Everything is so fresh. With all of the restaurants serving sushi, you know, from here to, you know, you can stop somewhere in the middle of no place in the Midwest and they have fresh. Where does it all come from? How do you get it and keep it? I mean, did you get it so fresh?
Where do you get your fish from?
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
Okay, well, I get the question all the time, and it's varies. And me, myself, I want to go back to my own first restaurant called Sushi Bistro. Mm-hmm. I have a different sources, and in these days, thanks for FedEx, and we can get fish, day-old fish from Hawaii. We do get that, and from West Coast or sometimes from Norway or Scotland. I mean, it comes pretty much from all over.
So FedEx and UPS have created a culinary revolution because, I mean, if you can stop somewhere in the middle of Ohio and they've got fresh sushi, that's all them.
Right, and the Denver, I heard they have a good sushi place, and how can they get it? I mean, they're close to the airport, so you know, they can fly.
Right, they can make it happen.
Right.
Well, so with your new concept at Oh Fish, it's almost like going to like one of the new salad places that have opened up. You know, you just sort of walk down and do. I mean, is that how you envisioned it?
Right, exactly. Actually, this idea came up when I was eating at Subway, and I say
Subway,
right.
Like a Subway,
right? Subway, exactly.
Sandwich.
Right,
okay.
Right. That was almost 5 years ago. I was eating. Then
did he just give Subway a plug?
Were you plugging Subway?
Holy!
Did I get a free Subway?
Yeah.
All right. So you know, I thought about it. If that can be done, doing the roll. And actually, this type of the roll, futomaki with a lot of ingredients, it's not new. In Japan, that you can get that too. And
really?
As a matter of fact, the restaurant I was working, first place I worked as a sushi chef or trainee in Japan, was known for that big roll. And ingredients is already said. Everybody, every Japanese knows this we call futomaki, which means a big roll. So that the roll
is. But you always slice. You don't do hand rolls, right? These are all maki, so they're all
right
sliced?
Now. I'm planning to do that hand rolls in the future. I just want to, you know, developed this idea first, then adding hand rolls, which is a little bit smaller version, like almost half of the size. So that's something I'm planning to add that later.
All right.
Excellent. Well, I want to ask you one other question.
Sure.
So I know at Kaz, you do a lot of special promotions, and you're doing something, I hope I'm not pronouncing it wrong, you're doing a snapper feast, correct?
Right.
But is it, it's a Thai snapper feast?
Thai snapper, okay. Right. It's a Thai, it's a Japanese word. It's not like a country Thai. It's
no.
A Thai is the snapper commonly eaten in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And either it come from Japan or come from New Zealand right now.
Okay.
And, you know, as a trained as a sushi chef, my former boss just told me, don't waste anything. In a Japanese, you know, we don't want to waste anything. And we know how to cook almost whole fish. So that's something I just wanted to introduce. Like it's skin of a snapper. Probably you don't even think of eating it. But I just want to introduce, okay, it's edible. Even the scale, we can fry it. And you can make it crispy, in a, you know, like a chips.
So everything, you know, is tasty. Everything can be made tasty.
I'm just not eating any eyeballs. That's
but I bet you serve them. Oh, look at his face. He's like, you got to eat the eyeballs.
No, no, there's some people love
eyeballs. No, no, I actually
not me, but
don't have to eat the eyeballs. All right, I want to make sure everybody knows where Oak Fish is.
Tell
it's at 11.
Okay,
I'm telling them if you'll
you
let me tell them.
You can tell them. 1103
19th Street Northwest. And it's ofish.com, ohfish.com.
Excellent.
Chef, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, I'm going to talk to the beer guys, and you bring Eddie in. Okay, beer guys. Let's get to Martin. Martin, you're brewing at home, right?
Yes, sir.
And in a past life, I shared a house with a home brewer, and I'm an instant gratificationist. If I can't just pop the bottle open and start drinking, this person spent hours on it. Why brew at home when there's so many good beers with so many permutations of ingredients out there?
Well, we were talking earlier about how there's a lot of small batches of beer, and this is the epitome of the small batch. It's a 5-gallon batch. It's a one of a kind thing. You know, you can pick your own ingredients. You can pick what you like. It's all about maybe a particular beer that you like is you just prefer a little bit of an extra ingredient that you can't buy in the store, and so you can make it and cater it to your specifications or however you like it.
All right, so. I mean, this is all morphed into on DC Beer Week, this homebrew competition.
Yeah.
Who wants to talk about that? Tell me about that.
Yeah, there's a homebrew competition coming up on August 20th at the Red Palace. It's $10 entry, and
that's
you get to...
Street, Northeast.
Yes, A Street, Northeast.
David doesn't go there. He doesn't know where it is.
You get to...
There
will be a lot of different types of homebrew there that you get to sample and kind of talk to the homebrewers. They'll be there, and they'll pour you... samples of the beer, and you get to see what all the homebrewing is about.
Well, so who are these homebrewers? I mean, how do people get involved with your organization? How do they do it?
Yeah, to get involved with our organization, you go to dchomebrewers.com, and you can look at the information there. Or we have a Google mailing list that goes around and sends people's emails, but we have about 400-some people on the list already in the area. The difference between our club and some other clubs in the area is that we're metro accessible. We're in downtown primarily, mainly in D.C. We meet at members' places once a month. And
so everybody just sort of shares?
Sort of shares.
Yeah, it's a pretty informal meeting. We you know, everyone shares and gives soft critique about different types of beer and how you can improve.
Cool.
It's a lot of sampling going on. Usually there's about 40 people that just... hang out and talk about beer.
All right. Well, speaking of sampling, we've got two more beers here.
Are these yours?
Yes.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
What are we
looking at?
So the lighter one is a Kolsch. It's a traditional German style brewed with two different
called
types.
Called what?
Kolsch. It's from Cologne in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
That's the style. So the yeast is similar to the style.
Very nice and light.
It's super light.
It's got a lot of, it's fresh, it's earthy. And then the other one actually is a little... little more experimental. You've got some meadow foam honey in there, which kind of almost gives it a cotton candy type of note to it.
Becoming a werewolf.
and there's some heather tips in there too. So
this is delicious.
It's almost like medicinal.
See,
it's a dark beer.
I'm not a dark beer guy, but this is not as heavy. You know, when you drink Guinness, it is like drinking meat.
Mm-hmm.
This has a very nice flavor, but it's
What's heather tips?
It's like a flower they grow in Scotland.
Okay.
It's a ground shrub type of thing.
You're so, a real bring me a shrub. Right. You're a
so
real
do you go foraging?
Scientist.
Do you like forage for some of your stuff?
No,
or you just
no,
order
you can,
everything
you can
online.
Buy, yeah, you can buy.
But just run around. Hey, move that dumpster. Hey, I see a shrub.
We had foragers on the show just a couple weeks ago. They forage around DC and they brought in berries and mint and
right.
stuff. And
I'm going to stop you because okay. we'll come back to you guys in a moment. Eddie Ishak is in, and Eddie is the relatively new executive chef out at Wildfire. And I wanted to do a line, Boy Meets Grill, but anyways.
But
I don't grill.
Stupid,
men
so
are supposed to be the grillers, but I like it when Nikki's outside grilling. And, oh,
what?
Eddie, you got to move up to the microphone, yo. All right.
There we go.
But anyways, I love it when she's out there grilling and in the heat, and I'm inside watching the game or whatever it is. But you are a master griller. And, you know, I mean, you brought in some beautiful stuff. Is there a technique to grilling? Does each griller have his own thing?
Personally, me, I like my grill hot, very hot, to sear all the steaks that I'm grilling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to let you know how you did here.
This ain't a 48-ounce porterhouse.
No,
I can tell you that.
It's not a competition.
Just to get a real nice sear and just to seal in those juices, depending on what temperature you like.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, I like my steak medium, about 8 to 10 minutes.
But now, so at your kitchen at Wildfire, everything is grilled. Unlike, you know, when we had the Carmine's guy on earlier, they said they were broiling that.
Actually, we also broil steaks and we do some grilling as well.
Mm-hmm.
But most of our steaks are broiled.
Okay.
We have fish that's grilled, obviously hamburgers.
Right.
Just the traditional stuff that's grilled.
But now when you're home and you're grilling by yourself, are you using charcoal or gas?
I try to stay away from the gas.
I like the
charcoal.
It's cheating.
The gas grill, it's kind of cheating.
It's cheating.
You're a cheater.
The charcoal just gives it that natural grilling flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's some of charcoal comes with flavored hickory, but there's a difference between smoking and barbecuing that
sure.
people don't. Some people that, hey, I'm going to go light the barbecue, turn on the barbecue. It's different.
Right.
With barbecue, it's all wood and it's smoke.
All right. Well, we have to take a quick break. But when we come back, we can talk about those kind of differences. And
I want to talk about the other kinds of stuff that he grills, because he grilled a romaine lettuce back there. It looks gorgeous.
Beautiful. All right. So this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to talk grilling. We'll be back.
Everybody wants to know why I'm fat.
We will be back in just a sec.
Cellist Yo-Yo Ma, one of the great stars of classical music, enthralls audiences all over the world with his passion and artistry. When it comes to picking a cello, he tends toward Italian instruments made in the 18th century. When it comes to a timepiece, however, he favors an instrument crafted in Switzerland, the Rolex Datejust. Since Rolex introduced the first self-winding calendar wristwatch in 1945, the Datejust has become one of the most sought-after models in the Oyster line. With its classic Oyster design and magnified date window, the Datejust is every bit as distinctive as the master cellist who wears it. To see the Datejust and a complete selection of other Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Torno, the world's largest watch store. Torno, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit MatrixDirect.com.
Sometimes I worry about what would happen to my family if I lost my job. But I never really thought about what would happen to them if they lost me and I didn't have life insurance. My cousin's husband died, and now she might have to sell her house just to make ends meet. I don't ever want to put my wife through that. So I called Matrix Direct.
Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. If you're 40 years old and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $16 a month. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-588-5514.
I feel so much better now that I called.
It only takes 5 minutes to see how you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-588-5514. 1-800-588-5514.
You are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We've got Eddie Ishak in. He's the executive chef at Wildfire. Eddie, before we get back to you, I just want to quickly thank the people that sponsor this show, our good friends at Georgetown Bagelry, best bagels in the world, the folks at Neighborhood Restaurant Group. They got a million restaurants like Rustico and Vermilion. They also have a great
Birch
wine
and
store.
Birch and
Barley and Church Key.
There's some beer events there
and
during
got
Beer Week.
Planet Wine, which I love. Our friends at Founding Farmers and Farmers and Fishers down on the Georgetown Harbor, Notte Bianche Dish, Circle Bistro, the Bethesda Central Farm Market, and Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers. We got a jeweler sponsoring us. How about that, huh?
Pretty good.
All right, Eddie, I'm back to you. Talk about grilling vegetables. You grilled romaine lettuce. I would. This would have been up in flames if I did it.
That's why I don't let him near the grill.
Let him talk.
Okay.
Some people think it's weird to take a green and grill it. Grilling it just brings out its instinct flavor. It gets sweet. Eating a raw piece of romaine and grilling it, it's a completely different animal.
Mm-hmm.
I just salt, peppered it, tossed it in a little olive oil, and just grilled it for literally.
I think some people are afraid with some vegetables, especially lettuces on the grill, like because of the water content. Like, how fast does it go? Like, when you're grilling romaine, like, how long do you put it on there?
That literally lasted maybe not even a minute, 45 mm-hmm. seconds tops. I don't even grill the other side. Just all the moisture just comes out real fast, and the sweetness comes out and turns into a beautiful product.
And what about, so you have asparagus here too. How long do you grill the asparagus for?
Asparagus is kind of different. It's maybe 2-3 minutes, depending mm-hmm. on the wellness. I mean, some people don't like the snap of the asparagus. They like mush asparagus. Yeah.
We don't like those people.
So that probably 2-3 minutes. Toss it in a little same salt, pepper, olive oil, mm-hmm. Lemon juice, shallots, a little parsley. So
right. Oh, you're making a mess.
You're making a mess.
Well, that's all right. I'm doing it for the camera.
Okay, well, pay attention.
I don't know what
and
I'm
now
doing.
You also brought in grilled pizzas.
You think I'm a professional?
Is that grilled? The pizza is grilled?
Absolutely.
Okay, so
yes.
Here's my question, because I've tried grilling pizzas, and my crust always comes out fabulous. But my problem is with my grill, like the cheese doesn't melt right. So do you guys throw it under the broiler? How do you make it work?
Yes, I cheat a little bit and
you cheat. Okay.
And put it under the broiler for just to melt the cheese. But the crust itself is actually grilled till it's done.
So do you grill the crust? So you make your dough.
I make the dough, sear it in my wood-burning oven real fast mm-hmm. just to pull it together.
I don't have a wood-burning oven. But
so they have the wood plates.
Because her husband's too cheap. That's what it is. Jeez,
well, they make those wood plates that you could just pop in the oven for the pizza ovens that you mm-hmm. could put in the oven for
He's too cheap to buy 30... me one of those, too, but go
it's
ahead.
It's not that expensive.
I'm parsimonious.
Yeah.
You just put it there, let it sit for a minute and a half just to bring it together, then you pop it on the grill. But the very important thing is not to put the grill on high or else it'll burn it.
Okay.
Real fast cooking. I put it on real low and just mm-hmm. keep turning it every minute or so. Just keep turning it till it's cooked.
So that's almost like the opposite of like grilling meat, because one of the people always say when you grill meat that you should just leave it on.
Just leave it and let it go. Exactly.
Right? It's so
because
hard
with
to
pizza
do that.
Dough, you just leave it on the grill. It's going to burn and you don't want that bitter flavor in your crust. So
now when you do a steak, how many times do you move it?
Twice.
Just twice?
Two times. I put it under the broiler for 4 or 5 minutes, turn it around, another 4 or 5 minutes, put it on a plate and sell it.
That's it.
That's it.
Same thing with grilling? When you grill it, same thing?
Same.
What about fish?
Fish, you want the nice grill marks on the fish. So,
okay, so
twice,
you move it
4 times.
Okay, so you're just like...
Just, yeah, switching the angle. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
All right, you know, he's a fellow Chicagoan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm not from Chicago,
where were you
but that's
you
very
came
nice.
Here?
Atlanta, Georgia for a year. I opened the Wildfire out there. And
so you've been with Lettuce Entertain you
about
for...
6 years now.
Oh, good. It's a good
great
company.
Well, we will come see you at Wildfire.
Yeah,
you should, absolutely.
So thank you for bringing
beautiful,
all this delicious
all beautiful
food.
Thanks
stuff.
For having me, guys.
Thank
all right,
you.
Thanks. All right, so let's stick
guys.
Around here, Eddie, because okay. we're drinking some beer. Let's get the beer boys up here.
Okay.
What so, Teddy, who wants to talk? Come on. Somebody,
all right,
Dave.
Let's pick of the 100+ events going on. We talked about the homebrewer event, but let's pick like 3 big events that you're all excited about going to.
Beer cruise, number
beer
one.
Beer cruise, you're
beer
going?
Beer cruise, I'm pouring.
Are you going? You're pouring.
Who's driving beer the boat? Cruise? That's what I want to know.
The
like, know.
Really cool thing about the beer cruise is we have, quote, sneak previews of 2 beers not released in D.C. yet.
Are we allowed to know what they
Elysian
are?
Elysian Brewing Company out of Seattle.
Okay.
And also New Belgium. They will be having official release parties later that week, but we will be pouring them.
We'll be pouring them
on the cruise.
So how many people can go on this cruise?
We have a capacity of 300. Okay. It's on Sunday the 14th. You can get
next Sunday.
Yep, next Sunday. You can get VIP tickets, which gives you t-shirts, glassware, and early boarding. Mm-hmm. Or you can get your regular tickets, which gives you a 5:30 instead of 5 o'clock boarding.
Okay. You could miss a lot of stuff.
You could miss some stuff, it's good because a smaller group getting in and being able to really talk with the brewers and talk with people representing the beer.
How many brewers are going to be on board?
Right now, as far as brewers, I think about 10. But as far as representatives from the breweries, pretty much every brewery will be represented.
Okay.
We have over now 40 beers being poured.
Wow.
Plus there's a full bar, dancing, DJ.
Yeah, you need a full bar.
Do you need an MC?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, what the hell?
But the cruise goes from 6 to 9. You can go to dcbeerweek.net and then click on DC Beer Week Cruise to buy tickets.
Okay, great. And do we know what they go for?
$85 for the regular tickets, $200 for the Washington City Paper Suds Club.
Okay.
And that gives you two tickets, two shirts, and two glasses.
Oh, that's a pretty good deal.
That absolutely is a real good deal.
Okay, two more events. What are like two events that you guys can't wait to go to?
I'm going to have to go ahead and plug myself here.
Okay,
I'm shameless
that
like
is
that.
The point of this show. Have at it.
So, Jack Rose, Tuesday night, Three Stars Brewing Company, has teamed up with Bill Thomas, who is owner of Jack Rose.
Right.
Jack Rose is a cool place.
Yeah, whiskey aficionado. So we'll be pouring our collaboration with Oliver Ales, the BW Rye, along with a hand-selected flight by Bill Thomas of rye whiskeys. We'll be really illustrating what characteristics rye brings to beer and whiskey and kind of illuminating that and walking people through it.
That's very cool.
I mean, you're going to be drinking
Is rye like a normal component of beer?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a grain that adds a lot of a spicy character to it. Mm-hmm. It's also kind of temperamental because if you have too much of it, it actually turns to like
gum. Like this because
it turns to gum actually. It'll gum up your mash.
Like rye bread?
Yeah, like rye bread.
You know
what I mean? That's exactly what it is. Okay. Yeah. So it pairs well with everything. Corned beef, pastrami, I mean, rye beer, it kind
of
goes
with all things. And a sense of humor. I have a rye sense of humor.
A rye sense of humor. I have a nephew named Caden Rye.
Caden Rye.
Yeah, so there's a lot of rye.
His future is fixed.
Yep, exactly.
Poor kid. Don't let him drive. All right, we're going to have to...
We can do one more event. One more event.
Trinity Brewhouse, available in Rhode Island. They're from Rhode Island.
Uh-huh.
Their beers are not available anywhere but Trinity Brewhouse and maybe a couple other places in Providence.
But they're coming to DC
to do a beer dinner at Granville Moore's. The brewmaster is going to be there. Chef Maria, my chef de cuisine,
She's
is
fabulous.
From Rhode Island. The two of her and Sean Larkin, the brewmaster, came up with a sick menu.
Excellent.
It's totally Rhode Island, New England-esque. So I'll be backing off from that one and letting her take the stage of that one. And she's a phenomenal chef. He's a phenomenal brewer. So I'm just totally excited.
I'm going to cut you off, Teddy boy. But I want to thank Teddy Folkman because he's urbane, erudite, and cool. Dave Coleman, Martin Dozcat, all you guys were great. Chef Kaz, you were wonderful. Jeff Banks and Terry Natus from Carmine's. Great restaurant. We ate a ton of food.
Thank our chef
and
for next
Eddie
year.
Ishak from Wildfire. You were amazing.
Thank you.
This is an awesome. This is the most moist and tender piece of beef ever.
Thank you.
Not getting out of here with that. Listen, there's a lot to know and a lot to do out there in the world. Go to the list. AreYouOnIt.com. If you think what you heard on the Today Show was cool, there's so much more there.
This is not the Today
Show. Huh? No, Today's Show, the Today Show. Yeah, you're good luck seeing you on that.
But go to the list where you want it. I'll be there before you will.
Oh, do you think so?
I do.
Yeah. I'm going to sleep with Matt. How's that? Follow Nikki on Twitter, and you can listen to her on WTOP.
Now I'm never getting on that show.
That's right. Well, anyways.
It's Al Roker.
Thank you.
I'm trying to give you a plug. Could you stop talking? At 10 of 1, if you tuned to 103.5, you'll hear Nikki on WTOP.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening next week while we still have a couple of seconds
okay.
left?
Okay, what is happening next week? Oh, you won't be here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. David Hagedorn
is
I'm going to camp.
Special co-host next week, so we'll be having lots of fun.
It's Father and Son Week at camp. Yay!
That's right. And Chef Katsuya is coming in. We're going to talk about his new place, Rabbit. And Dr. Mike Fenster is coming in. He is a heart doctor, a heart specialist, and he's going to talk about eating well. He's the Grassroots Gourmet. And lastly, we have L'Académie de Cuisine coming in. We're going to be talking
about Clarice Dionneau, Francois's wife.
We're going to be talking about all the new programs that they have. So if you're interested in being a chef, you can sign up for their fall programs.
All right, so watch this show. We film it. We got our film dudes in here. You can see it on NBC4's Washington Nonstop at 8:30 next Friday night and at noon next Saturday.
Everybody have a delicious week.
Bye.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or